A listener production.
This episode consists of in-depth conversations surrounding pregnancy loss and infertility.
Also, throughout the episode, you're going to hear little snippets that we recorded literally through the journey that were like happening at the time of my scans and like peeing on sticks. So there's going to be like emotional pieces tucked into this episode for you too.
You're listening to Darling Shine, a podcast by myself, Elodie Pullen.
And me, Chloe Fisher.
A place where we ground womanhood's unspoken experiences from grief to fertility and everything in between.
Join us while we transform our pain into power, encompassing all emotions, ugly and beautiful. Darling Shine is your chosen family and your survival kit for the unexpected shit life throws at you.
Hello, darling. We are recording to you all live from Bali, from my room here.
How bloody good. Everybody's very eager to know where I'm at with my fertility journey. We sort of touched on it in the first episode, but we thought that we would dedicate a whole episode to what went down when I came home from Europe. We're going to kind of go from the beginning there, which dated back to October of 2022.
A lot happened.
Yeah. And I definitely kept it under wraps because I think that at this point I was just like, I just can't bother to talk about it. And it kind of worked out well that we weren't really doing podcasts at the time because I was just like, I don't know, I felt like these rounds were just like a little bit overwhelming. And there was also like so much going on at the same time. And by the way, I'm going to be talking a bit this episode. We'll try and keep it.
It's your ep, sis. You go off.
I know people just get sick of hearing my voice constant. Oh, often.
They get sick of mine. I'm going to shut up.
We obviously weren't doing IVF when we were in Europe. We kind of just had that time off because, I don't know, it's so funny because everyone is always like, as soon as you forget about it, it will just happen. Ugh. So that was like the plan on that, like, we're just going to forget about it. But it didn't obviously happen when we were in Europe. And I guess we were so excited to come back to Australia and get started again because, yeah, we had done five rounds. Oh. I came home last week of October and my period literally came on the 31st of October. I was like, yay. It's like one time that I was so excited to get my period because
it was good timing.
Yeah, really good timing because you know when you get your period, it means that you get to start a cycle of IVF.
Yeah.
So that is day one of your cycle when you get your period and generally you will go in for a scan and bloods that day and then usually you'll start your cycle of IVF on day two or three of your cycle. And for my case, we started on the 2nd of November. You do the medication for 2 weeks, which are all the injections and everything like that. I'm going to actually talk through the cycles that I did at home. I'm also going to talk through the medication that I took because a lot of people send lots of messages to recommend different types of medication and what I've been taking and stuff like that. So I just figured I'm just going to talk through all of the cycles, all of the medication, and just kind of try and put it all out there on the table. So this round I was doing Gonal F, Menopure, Oragyl Trans, so hard to pronounce
these things,
Ovadril Triggers, and then the Cronone is the progesterone gel that you start using after you do the transfer. So they were the combination of medication that I was taking this time around, and that started on the 2nd of November. The needles don't really bother me. I know that some people are scared of needles and they find it really difficult to administer it. But for me, I was just like, it doesn't really.
You're a weapon.
Kind of like, I think that I get excited when I take it because I know I'm doing another round and it's just like one step closer to the baby. So it doesn't really bother me.
And you've been doing them for so long now. So it's just like, unfortunately, second nature. You're just like, yeah. Cool, let's jab. Yeah. I see you doing them so flippantly. I'm like, whoa, you're an actual weapon. Like, I mean, I did a bit of IVF too, but nothing obviously compared to you. And I did get freaked out every morning. I had to kind of psych myself. And I'm a tough bitch, but I had to kind of be like, and I don't mind needles at all. But I was a bit like, eh, every time.
Yeah, it's funny because some of them hurt more than others and I don't know why. It's really so strange.
Yeah, and your ones are massive. Like, you're like a full scientist and she mixes them together. And
yeah, the menopure ones, it actually comes in like two vials. One vial has powder and the other vial is a liquid and you have to get a syringe and like syringe liquid out, then put it in the powder one, mix it around, yeah. Take it out and then you like keep it in that little one and it lasts like the whole time and then you have to take it out yourself. They're not actually pre-done syringes. These ones, you DIY vibes.
It's Breaking Bad shit.
Yeah. That was my 2 weeks of doing needles. And at the end of the 2 weeks, depending on how your bloods are going, you do your trigger shot. 36 hours exactly after your trigger shot is when you're going in for egg collection. So I found out that my trigger shot was at 6:30 p.m. on the night of the Sydney show. And so, like, all my friends were at the Sydney show. And
this is so funny.
And Paul was playing at 7:30. So I was like, oh, my goodness, of course it has to be done. It was exactly an hour before Paul went on. Anyway, all of my girlfriends that knew that were going on were like, yep, you're my cheer squad today. We're going to go in. We all went into the green room before Paul played. Paul was in there, a few of our friends, and everyone's like kissing my belly, rubbing my belly. Everyone like stood around the, everyone stood around my belly. We all like sent it good vibes, like, this is the one, you're on, like, good luck. And then the boys from the Inspired Unemployed,
everyone knows them.
Well, I mean, like, international people, like, not everybody, you know, knows everybody, but for people that don't know who they are, they're these funny guys from Australia.
What are their names? Is it Matt? Jack and Matt.
And they also have a podcast, but they're just, like, very funny on Instagram, so you can follow them on Instagram. They're called The Uninspired Employed. Anyway,
fuck, I love them. They're so funny, man.
They're freaking hilarious. And so they were there, and they've come in as I was about to put these needles in my stomach. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm doing IVF. It's my trigger shot, so I'm putting them in. Meanwhile, all the boys in the room that had no idea what IVF was thought that I was literally injecting Paul's sperm into my stomach. Like,
what the fuck?
But then these boys come in and they start chanting as I'm doing the needles. They're going, IBS. IBS, and I'm like, no, it's not. Do you know what IBS is? And
Irritable bowel syndrome. IBS.
I'm like, no, it's IVF. And they're like, I don't think they still understood, but anyway, we got through it.
If they're listening, they're learning a few things. We might have to get them on the pod and do like we should quiz them on IVF and IBS shit.
And the female reproductive system. We're going to get them on. We're going to do like a little... Anyway, so that was really funny. So that was bloody hilarious. We were all honestly pissing ourselves laughing. And then an hour later, Paul went on and it was just like the most amazing show ever. And we just, went to Perth the following day. And I didn't actually go to Perth because I was having my egg collection on, I believe it was the Monday. Yeah, it was the Monday. Our good friend Erica drove me to the surgery and dropped me off there, had my little egg collection. And I think as well with this journey and doing IVF, it's definitely like you kind of find your tribe and they all jump in where needed because obviously Paul wasn't there and she was like 100% like, I'm driving you there and drop me off, pick up the patient. Yeah, it's literally a 4 a.m. drop off because it's like admission time is like 5 a.m. It's just like...
It takes a village, doll.
It does.
All right, doll, tell me about the latest collection.
So I've just done 2 weeks worth of the injections. We got 6 eggs out, which to me is quite disappointing. It still baffles me that I'm only getting 6 and I'm like so young and like I'd imagine to be very healthy.
You hear of people getting like 25.
But like, yeah, there was women that were like I was hearing waking up in the beds around me and like they're going, how many? You know, the nurse is asking and I could hear them like 20 or 26 or da, da, da. And I'm like, fuck. Anyway, I was like, you know what? Just in my head, just going, you only need one.
Yeah, girl.
So anyway, you get the call that afternoon and they tell you what eggs were mature and only 4 of my 6 were mature, which was a bit of a stab in the guts again. I was just like, okay, cool. So now this is like, why are my eggs shit?
Why have you already lost 2?
Yeah, before they even inseminated them. And then so basically that same day with the collection, they will inseminate because I'm doing ICSI. They're actually picking individual sperm and they're putting an individual sperm into the egg. But Paul was actually away that day. He was actually in Brisbane because it was when the Brisbane Fisher Tour happened. That's why I sat out, by the way, for our listeners who were like freaking out that I was missed because I wasn't there. Actually doing an egg collection. Little did you guys all know. They have got frozen sperm of his from when we very, very, very first started IVF 2 years ago. So 2 years younger sperm than he currently is. They pick a really good one, inseminate it with the eggs, And then day one, the following day, they'll call up with an update of like what has fertilized. So then I got that call that next day and we had already lost another two.
Isn't it just so scary answering the phone that whole week?
I think I just like came into it just like, you know what, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like I'm going to use a frozen embryo anyway when I do a transfer. So whatever I get now is a bonus. But then I think it like really starts hitting in like,
of course,
hang on a second. Like why am I not getting these eggs and embryo? Like what's going on? Like there's no answers to it at this point. Praying that I get these two to the end, I'm going to genetically test them so I won't get those results for like about 6 weeks after they get to day five. And then, yeah, so we'll do the transfer and fingers crossed.
Yeah.
They were both healthy, both like A-grade embryos. We biopsied them to test them genetically. One of them came back genetically normal and one of them came back as a mosaic. And like they obviously don't really recommend using them unless you like really need to, because that means that like one of the, like something chromosomally isn't normal within the embryo. So I won't probably use them until like, you know, I use up all my eggs that I have. But this round when I did my transfer, I always just had this feeling in my gut that my first ever, because I have three embryos frozen, well, I had four, and my very first one I'd never used. So I was just like, what happens if that's the one? Like, what happens if that's the one? And I also hadn't transferred a frozen embryo before. So I was like, yep, this is the one. I transferred that frozen embryo, which is my first ever one, and then I had the two-week wait. And the two-week wait is just like torture.
Fact. We've done episodes on it if you need help through it.
Yeah, it's just like it's so long and, yeah, every day you're just trying to keep busy. But
you're trying not to pee on sticks and it's impossible.
Yeah, and I honestly like was quite busy this time around because we had Paul's tour and then he had another tour in Australia following that, which was the Spilt Milk tour. So there was a lot going on. He also got nominated for GQ Award for Artist of the Year. And so we were going down to Sydney.
And he won it.
Yes. I was getting to that, but yes, he won. So, yeah, we went down there not knowing like what the go was, but we're like, we should go down there. They wanted us to come down. So like, maybe that's what, maybe he has one. So maybe that's what we should go down. And I think it was like a few days out from me peeing on a stick and finding out, but I just was so confident.
So where are we at, Dol? You were feeling really positive last week.
Yeah. I feel like I need to just like put myself back in my box a little bit because like I definitely came in guns blazing. And I think that like, that's my like way of the initial like
getting through that
initial, like you're obviously so excited when, because it's like the world is your oyster basically when it goes in. So you're like, yeah, positive, da, da, da. But now I don't feel any of the feels. And I literally woke up yesterday morning and I'm like, I kind of felt a shift. And I think maybe, I don't know, like I don't feel like my boobs aren't sore at all, like nothing. Everything is just like, I just feel completely normal. So look, I'm still trying to be positive. It's still obviously early days. It's only been 6 days, but I'm now kind of just like looking into the future in the sense that like, look, it's fine because I'm here in Australia. I can go straight back to back cycles. And like, if I just keep on doing this, then it's going to like, eventually it's going to work. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I just like, I'm still trying to be super positive about it, but I just don't. I think something shifted and I don't know whether it did work for a second and it was a chemical pregnancy, but I don't know. I'm definitely jumping the guns. I don't get to do a pregnancy. Well, I am going to do a pregnancy test on the weekend because you're not meant to, but my actual official test is next Wednesday, which it's now Friday. But Elodie and I are going to Sydney on Monday through Wednesday and I should have like at least a faint positive on like the Monday morning. So
yeah, you want to know.
I kind of just want to know before I go away just because like I just need to, I don't know, I'd rather do it at home. I'm very much like I need to do it by myself and I need to like just like wrap my head around it before I see people and just be like, okay.
Yeah. I feel like I've never seen you so balanced during an IVF cycle as well as like you've been so excited and then you've had this shift where you're kind of a bit like down.
Yeah.
But the way that you can talk about it and the way that you've got this like vision or what you're going to do if like you're like already combating.
Yeah. I think that I'm just like, I've just done it so many times now that I'm like, I can't get my knickers in a knot. What am I, me like moping or me crying or me like, obviously I'm going to be absolutely devastated, but like, it's not going to get me a baby. I just have to keep moving forward. The next time you hear from me, you're going to know.
Hang on, little fishy.
So I went home, went to bed, went back to Sydney, and basically I found out, I think 2 days later, I literally got my period. So that round didn't work. So that brought me up to the end of November. You get your period. Obviously, I'm devastated because this round didn't work, but I'm also just like, fine, let's just pump straight into.
You were so positive. You just went straight from having the gnarliest news to like, fuck it, let's go again right now. Like, how do you find that mental strength and just emotionally to just go straight into another round for anyone else doing this?
I don't know. I think I'm just so desensitized to the whole experience now. Like, emotionally and mentally, it's definitely getting harder, and I feel extremely defeated. But like, I have this mentality where I'm just like, I can't just sit here and do nothing. And also, obviously, we travel for Paul's work, and we're on the road all year round. I'm very limited with time when I am in Australia or when I am with my doctor that I do trust and I do believe in. And that was this moment in time when I was in Australia. So I only had 3 months. So I'm like, I need to just pump this out. And if it didn't work, there's no time to just sit around and mope. Yeah, I do have my days. Like cry. It's devastating. But you also kind of then have this next bit of hope. Then you're like, oh, it's fine. In 2 weeks, we're going to be on again. It's all good. Surely next time will work. So I think that's where I kind of get to in my head. That was the end of November. So then on the 3rd of December, we started our sixth cycle of medication, and then we actually changed it up a little bit this round because we started treating me, even though I have done the test for the natural killer cells where it's basically your body attacks the embryos, and I didn't come back with high blood cells for that, but because I just had these like recurrent cycles that weren't working and recurrent miscarriages, we decided just to treat me for it anyway. From day one of my cycle, I was taking a low dose of aspirin. And so basically aspirin is commonly used to prevent eclampsia. And I actually didn't really know anything about that. But basically, pre-eclampsia is thought to be caused by the placenta not developing properly due to like a problem with the blood vessels supplying it. And I guess the reason why you take the low dose aspirin is to help with like blood clotting and all that sort of stuff. I was also taking prednisolone, which is, it's like a steroid, and it's used to treat people that have recurrent miscarriage. So I started taking that on day three. I was also taking gonal F again, and you get the gist. But people that are doing IVF, they will ring bells to them, yep. And they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm on those too. So for the first time, I started Clexane, which is also known as Lovenox. Usually, I think that's what they call it in the States. And that, again, is an injection, and that's used to, like, thin your blood and prevent blood clots. So I was doing a full concoction of...
So much.
Like, so much. And the Clexane shots are the ones that were giving me the really, really, really bad bruises. Yeah, so I was doing those every single night. So then... Early December, I do the bloods, I do the ultrasounds. And then the 14th of December, I had another egg pickup. I had 4 eggs were collected, which it's beginning to feel very heavy at this point because, like, yes, I do have a low egg count, but I'm starting to get low eggs collected. Whereas previously I'm getting 6. I think I got 12 at the very beginning.
Yeah.
So it is becoming more stressful and more pressure and more like far out. Like this is like, I don't know, as time goes on, they do say like, you know, you really need to start freezing the eggs and getting your bank up of your eggs because the older you get, the less you're going to get. And like,
you're trying.
It's only been 3 years of me trying for a baby, 2 years of IVF, but I'm watching these dwindle down really fast. I collected the 4 embryos. That in itself was like a pretty tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And then that evening they called and they're like, unfortunately, only one of the eggs were actually mature. And I'm like,
fuck, that was so heavy.
What do you mean only one? Like why? Like nothing has changed at all. If anything, I was the healthiest I've been in years. Like I hadn't really been drinking, I hadn't been on the road, I was like at home, I was exercising, I was eating good food. Like,
yeah,
I don't really ever, touch wood, get sick either. So like my immune system was great. And like my doctor was like, have you been sick recently? I'm like, no. Like I honestly, especially this being the second round of IVF that I'd done back in Oz this trip, in the lead up to it, I'd just been at home and just really good, in a really good headspace. And then they called me the following morning to give me my little update. And they're like, we're really sorry, but it didn't survive the night. And I was like, oh my God.
That was fucked.
Yeah, because you hear of this happening to people. You know, I'm collecting low amounts and I'm getting one or two to the end. Like the previous round, I got one. And you're like, at least I'm getting one, I guess. Some people get this call up and it's, you didn't get any. Like, imagine that.
And you were doing a million needles. Like, you just were doing so much to then, like, literally be left with nothing.
Nothing. So literally nothing. And I was like, wow, okay.
Close.
I don't know. I feel like that was
the worst news.
That was almost as heavy as, like, having a miscarriage. Because you just, that's like a whole month's worth of a cycle to get zero. But we ended up then, because I was just like, well, I'm still going to do a transfer, obviously. Like I had the one that we got the previous round frozen. That was genetically tested good. That was frozen. So we're like, well, let's just use that one because I do still have three on ice, but they're not tested because I did them. They were from my very, very, very first rounds and we weren't really testing them genetically at that time because they were like, you're young. They're going to be genetically normal. It's fine. So I was just like, well, fuck, let's just use this really good one. So we used the really good one. That was transferred on the 19th of December. And obviously that's a week out from Christmas and New Year. And like, yeah, no one really knew where I was kind of at with everything because I kind of just stopped talking about it. I was just a bit over it all, really. And especially at that time of the year, it's like the happy season. Everyone's like having events and having bloody Christmas parties and lunches. And it was just like, and that's the thing that when I was talking about it, I think in our first or second of this season, I'm like, people are like, why aren't you drinking? And I'm just like, fuck, can we just like not, can we make this not a thing? And it's not just me. I feel like other people that don't drink, not even the reason of doing IVF or the reason of doing, you know, that they're pregnant, like people, we need to break that stigma around that you have to be drinking at events. It just like, it sucks. Rewind back to the week of Christmas. You guys all know if you listen to the previous episodes, I said that I peed on the stick on Christmas Day and it was negative. Yes, it was a bit early.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that sucked. It literally completely ruined our Christmas. Yes. I probably shouldn't have peed on the stick because it was definitely only like 6 days in. But I was like, you know what? It's 6 days in. It should be a faint line. Every other pregnancy that I've had, it's been a really faint line. So I don't know. We then went to your house and tried to just like shake it off a little. But it was weird because I just kept on looking at the stick going, I swear there's something there. And Paul was like, no.
You really felt you were pregnant that. Like, I mean, I know you feel it every month, but like there was something in the air about that one.
I don't think I felt it physically, but like emotionally and just like the right time and universally, I felt it was the one.
And I had a dream, weirdly, that you had done a test and it was positive. Claire said it's negative, I'm not pregnant. I was like, oh, I just feel like, I don't know. Oh,
yeah.
I was like, I think you did it too early.
Yeah. And then I went down to Sydney the following day to be with my family, had Christmas with my family. I can feel when I'm about to start having my period. Like I just know. And my period's so consistent on the dot that I was like, yeah. I started bleeding that night. I think it was Boxing Day. Stopped taking the progesterone, stopped doing the Clexane shots because I was like, yep, sweet. And then I was just eager, again, it's this cycle, just eager to get cracking on that third round while I was in Oz. I was just keen to get cracking on round seven because the sooner I get my bloods done, then I start again basically. And I was obviously coming to Bali, so I just wanted to like get it done. Went in Sydney, I went and got my bloods, got back to the Goldie the following day, But it was just like a really weird time. I was just so like down. I wasn't really showing it to anyone. And I was just like, just felt, again, so defeated. Just like we were down the beach with Minnie that morning and it was just like so cute. Like I was in the ocean and just like, I just feel like I just have been talking so much just to the universe and the sky and just going, come on, like, no, you know, it's like always like, not now, look, it's going to happen when the universe is right and all this sort of stuff. But I'm just like, fuck, I just feel like, I don't know, I just don't know why it's not the right time. Anyway.
Chloe was literally swimming in the water and I was standing on the shore with Minnie and my friend Maddie and I was like, oh, look at her. Like, we were like, oh, fuck, she's so strong. Like, I hope she's okay, kind of. And we could see you were out in the ocean, like, kind of, literally, like, could see you channeling and talking to the universe. Like, you were having a moment out there. Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck, look at her. She's actually having a bit of a moment out there. Like, oh, my God, yeah. Let's give her a big hug kind of thing when she comes in.
It was like a really moody day. Remember?
It was a
like,
weird, it was, like the it was weather beautiful, was coming actually.
Go down the beach this morning. I was just about to jump in the shower. I was actually like, I've been talking to like Chumpy this whole time. Like, going, Chumpy, come on. Like, you know, before I got my period, mind you, like the last few days have just been fucking normal. But like, I'm like, come on, you know, like looking up the sky, da da da, manifesting. I will be pregnant in December 2022. I will be pregnant.
And I watched you out in the surf and I was like, fuck, she's really doing some pondering out there. Like you're doing a bit of soul searching out there in the ocean. And I was like,
I'm just trying to put as much positive energy into like anything that I can possibly. Anyway, so I've like had a shower, the pathology, like I know the phone number, speak to my IVF clinic.
Shower and she's at the beach, like, the beach shower.
Yeah, the beach shower. Ellie's getting Minnie in the car, get this phone call from the IVF clinic. And she's like, hey, you know, can you repeat your name, date of birth? Da, da, da. She's like, so your blood tests have come back and you're pregnant. And I'm like, what? I was just like, no, she's just like, it's come back as a positive reading. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, are you actually joking? And she's like, no. She's like, as if I'd be calling really you to joke faint. About that. I literally nearly fell over backwards. I screamed.
You kept fumbling on the phone. You kept being like, I don't even know my name anymore. I don't know.
Like, and then I'm like, so Elodie. I like screamed out to Elodie at the car and I'm like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Like what? And then she's like, you need to get back on your fucking medication. Like, I don't know why you're just like self fucking unmedicating yourself.
The bloody progesterone.
Well, it was only one day, but I did stop because I was like, I've got my period. Yeah. So like the sooner I stop this, the sooner the bleeds are going to happen properly. So look, but in saying that, I'm really trying to protect myself here because although it was a positive, I actually went home and I peed on a stick and it's like a full positive pregnancy test. I don't even know why I didn't. I just didn't even think to
my
do it.
My dream came true.
But like I didn't even think to redo it because I'm like, I have my period. But totally. This is okay. So this is where I want to go to now, which is like where I'm really nervous and like I could come back on here in a week's time and I'll have bad news for you guys. But I'm not projecting that.
No, we're not.
But basically my
2023 is your year.
It was
year,
like
girl.
I have been spotting like dark old blood, which is fine. But as soon as I stopped the progesterone, I did have two like quite substantial, not like consistently fresh blood bleeds, but like when I'm wiped, like a whole tissue's worth of fresh blood. So like that A is obviously concerning because like I would have called that my period, but
totally,
it is common to bleed early pregnancy. I've heard it,
bleeding.
But it was fresh blood, so I don't know. And then also my HCG level is very low still. It was only 45, which is like well below what any of my other pregnancies have. And then my progesterone is also very low. It was like 6. So they're like, you need to start putting that progesterone in like put like every 2 hours today. Look, I only missed one day's worth, so it's not like I had stopped this for four days. It's only 3 of them that I had not used because I have to do 2 in each day, one morning and one night.
So we're on high alert with your levels and trying to quickly bring them straight back up.
Yeah.
To
so I just like, it's funny because like day 6 was a complete stark negative pregnancy test. And then today's day 11 and it's like a full positive.
Which is probably the correct day to test, right? Day 10
Yeah, today
or 11
is when I'm meant to test. Today, like today was the day that I was meant to test. But in saying that, I'm just like, I have nothing to compare to. Obviously, there was no HCG in my urine before Christmas, before I had the bleed, but it's like been since, but I don't know whether the bleed has like, you know, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm going to go in for another blood test in 2 days and your HCG every 48 hours should double. So I'll have more confidence in 2 days. If it's doubled, I'll be like, okay, we might be okay. But right now I'm still very much like, it's not a thing. Like, I don't believe it. And because like I've been bleeding. So I don't know. I'm like, it's so weird because this is what I mean. Like, I know we speak about this a lot, like the infertility, like I should be the most excited person in the world because I've been waiting nearly over a year for this positive pregnancy test and it's just happened today. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? But like, it's not exciting.
You
for
always
me.
Say you'll never be able to enjoy the news or your pregnancy. And I think today we did have this massive spark of excitement and seeing your face was the most beautiful thing. And like, it is immediately followed by a bit of fright, like, oh, but what if, like, but yeah. what, you know, you always then feel like you're waiting for something fucking shit to happen or some bad news.
But I also right feel now, like today was like the most exciting part that I've had of this whole experience through IVF and pregnancy because like I actually was, that phone call was meant to be,
yep.
You can start your cycle tomorrow. Like I don't get caught off guard very often and I fully got caught completely off guard.
It was a shock.
There was no doubt in my mind. Like there was not one part of my whole body
Chloe does not get caught off guard. No, you 100% thought that was going to be a different call talking about the next round.
Yeah, but it's actually funny because when I answered, I was my nurse, I could just feel a little bit of like...
In the tone in her voice.
Happiness in her, like I could just be like, for one split second before she told me, I was like, fuck.
Why are you so upbeat?
Why are you so happy? Like, because like, I don't know, I've been doing this so many times at the clinic that they're just like, she would have got that email and been like, oh my God, fucking stranger things do happen.
Oh my God. She would have been like, I want to be the one to call Chloe.
Yeah. So I don't know. Bless. I'm just like, look at me sitting here right now. I'm like, I just feel so like, I don't know. I'm really scared.
So I feel like the nerves are really high. Like, I think on the way.
Because it's just like how you can be so like happy and like I even just when I got home, I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking happened. Like it's happened. Like how can it?
And this
I just like just felt like this moment was so distant and but I'm just so petrified for Saturday because I'm like, this can be taken away from me really quickly.
Right now in this very second, you are fucking pregnant and I know that shit can go wrong, but you need it. Just like you deserve to have this excitement right now. Like, I'm not saying just get your hopes up for the next weeks and stuff because, like, you know, but you fucking deserve this day and you deserve that news and you deserve to just be so excited for a few minutes and not be fucking freaking out. Come on, little fish, you got to stick.
Oh, fuck, there's so much riding
stick
on this.
You little biatch.
I just can't believe it, fuck's sake.
I cannot believe it.
I then every 3 days was going in and getting bloods because I just wanted to monitor these levels with my progesterone because I really had to get these progesterone levels up. The numbers were still rising. Everything was good. I was on off sort of bleeding, but every day that I'd go in, my HCG was still rising. I think it wasn't quite doubling, but it was still like very close to doubling. So it was just so crazy, the whole thing. Paul was... I don't even know where
it was. The weirdest
working, and it was just
and they were just it was slowly rising.
Yeah. So then I think the levels started to plateau off a little bit.
It was very touch and go.
It was really touch and go. I then went and had an ultrasound because they're like, let's just see what we can see in there because at this point I think I was meant to be 6 weeks, although that's still really early for an ultrasound. But they're like, we should see something sort of thing. But because my levels were quite low, they wanted to rule out that it wasn't ectopic. So I go in for this ultrasound. Paul comes with me. Actually, Minnie came, I think.
Yeah, Minnie went with you.
With us because you were down in Sydney.
You bring Minnie for good luck.
Get in the ultrasound. Literally can't see anything in the ultrasound. And I was like, here we go. Like
Shattered.
And the poor ultrasound lady was actually the ultrasound woman that we had when we miscarried with the twins. So she was almost in tears. I was in tears. We're looking so hard to spot anything. Although they couldn't see anything in my tube, so that was like good. She actually got, there was a gynecologist that was on site. So she got the gynecologist in to redo it just so she could really just double check.
Yeah.
And she said that she could see some sort of like adhesions in my uterus, which I'm like, oh my God, I've been fucking saying this forever. She's like, I think I can see it. the tiniest dot. It's not near where these adhesions are, but like there's definitely something going on inside your uterus. There's no, it's not ectopic. I'm like, thank God. But the numbers are really low. So go get blood tests. And they're like, we're going to tell, we'll be able to tell more from the blood test. If the numbers keep rising, you could be good. Sweet.
This was the definition of a freaking roller coaster. This 2 weeks, it was like one day on, next day off, one day on, next day off. You're cheering, then you're screaming, crying, howling, then you're cheering.
Yeah, and then they'd be like, as soon as we get these bloods, like, well, no way, we'll know more. And then we'd get the bloods and the levels were rising still. Yeah. And they're like, well, what's going on? They were like, this is, no one can give me answers again. And I'm thinking, far out, this is just so annoying.
But they were like, the levels are rising, so you need to keep taking the drugs because technically you are pregnant. So maybe it was just too small to see in the scan. Like it was just the most confusing shit ever.
Yeah, and then so...
And you're just holding on to the tiniest bit of hope. Like it was gnarly.
It was weird because I don't know, I did have hope. Well, I mean, hope was all that you could have. I did have hope, but then I was also just like trying... I know this experience so well that I was also just trying not to... I don't know, get my hopes up. In the meantime, I've gone down to Sydney, gone to that fizz party. Again, got heckled by everyone why I wasn't drinking. I like was drinking cans of fizz but like putting fucking soda water in it just so I wasn't getting harassed 24/7. But then I still had people coming up going, oh, like, why aren't you drinking? And someone actually saw one of our partners in fizz putting the soda water in the can and she was just like, look, gave me that look. I'm like, listen, I'm not drinking because I'm doing IVF at the moment. If I was pregnant and I wanted to tell you, I would tell you, I promise.
Yeah, yeah.
Please leave me alone. Because it just ruined it ruined your night.
Like people are watching what I'm doing. Like, yeah. I can't even just pretend to drink the fizz.
And I do feel bad for some of my good friends that I didn't tell, but it was honestly... On one day, off the other day. On one day, off the other day. I was bleeding. I wasn't bleeding. They're telling me you're pregnant. You're 6 weeks pregnant. You're 7 weeks pregnant. You're 8 weeks pregnant. You're pregnant until you're not pregnant. And I'm like,
so heavy.
Oh, it was, yeah. And I went down to Byron, as you guys probably would have seen. I got to Byron and I did my bloods. And when I got there, they called me and they're like, the levels are definitely rising still, but they're like sort of starting to plateau. And then I literally got to my hotel and I had this massive bleed again. And I was just so rattled. I was just like so sad. Paul was away. Paul was actually meant to be on that trip with me. And then he ended up having to take a work trip last minute. Luckily, our good friends Tash and Bianca were down in Byron and they literally came straight to my side. And our friend Tashi had also just had a miscarriage a few weeks earlier and we literally just sat in the room and I was like, I haven't told you this. I was actually going to tell you at dinner I'm pregnant, but I just got my bloods and the levels aren't really that good and I've just started bleeding, like proper bleeding again. I think I'm miscarrying and we're both crying. It was just like
awful.
What the hell? Like, and that went on for like a week. I then went back to the Gold Coast, got my bloods again, and the friggin' levels were still rising. And I'm like, and then my doctor was like, you have to continue to be like pregnant until you're not pregnant, like, because you are. If your levels are rising, there's still something growing in there. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally gonna pull my hair out. Like, I actually can't cope with this anymore. Like, this had been going on for 4 weeks.
And so much false hope because, like, you're all of a sudden back on. So you've got to get your hopes up and be like, okay, I guess I am pregnant again. So you're like, you are happy, but you're like so scared because you kind of know it's hanging on by a thread and your gut's kind of saying, I don't think this is going to work, but my levels are rising. So I've just got to kind of like, I've got to hang on to it.
Yeah.
It's the most fucking, oh,
and you know, everyone's just like, oh, you know, you've got to be positive. You can only project positive. You can only project positive because your body knows. Like, it's like, and I'm like, there's bits and pieces in that we were, yeah.
It's a lot more complicated than that, really.
It was just like, makes me actually feel sick thinking about it. Anyway.
Thinking about what you mentally had to uphold and go through.
Yeah.
That was the worst. That was the craziest month ever.
So then it was literally, I think 3 days before I came to Bali. Bleeding had stopped. Everything seemed like it was going good on track again. And then I just went in for my routine bloods that I was getting every 3 days. At this point, I was 9 weeks. And then my doctor called. He's like, have you been bleeding? And I'm like, no, no bleeding. He goes, I'm so sorry, but your levels have completely dropped. Which, like, he's like, I'm so sorry to break it to you, but you're having your fourth miscarriage. And I'm like, oh.
And he was definite. He was like, this is the end of the line. We won't muck you. Like, you know, I'm not going to tell you tomorrow that you randomly are pregnant. This is it, right?
Because my levels were one number and then, like, 3 days later they were completely half. Whereas up until that point they were trickling up. Whereas they basically were waiting for that to happen. Because I was like, book me in tomorrow for a D&C. I'm going to Bali next week. I'm not dealing with this bleeding situation.
Yeah.
Because at that point I wasn't even bleeding, but he's like, you're going to start bleeding. You're going to have to pass this naturally. And I'm like, oh, my God, can I just not do that?
And we missed a really important part of this story. So a few weeks before this moment, on a day where Chloe had been told that she was pregnant and thought she, you know, was, her pop had basically almost passed away this day. And you hadn't told your family at all that you were pregnant. And it was, I was actually there. It was the cutest moment ever. I was bawling my eyes out. You and Paul were on FaceTime to your pop and you told him the news because he was literally on his deathbed and the whole family in Sydney were around him holding his hand and you couldn't be there, obviously.
I hadn't told my family that I was pregnant, but I was like, God, if these are his last hours, like, I need to tell him that we're pregnant just so he can, like, take that news up to grandma and, like, Chumpy and be like, you guys did it, you know.
It was so cute.
And it was so hard because my mum knew, but I had to tell my mum to tell everyone else to leave the room with him. And I was like, oh, Papa, we're pregnant. And he was like, oh, that's the best news ever. And it was just like, yeah.
That was the cutest moment ever. He was so happy for you. And it was so cute seeing you and Fish say out loud you were pregnant to him, because it was just like you both were so proud and so stoked to tell him that news. Like, you'd given him this amazing gift that day.
And I'm
so sad to think that wasn't real.
I don't think we even, like, I actually didn't tell him that I had a miscarriage either. Like, he obviously survived that day and lasted 2 more weeks, and he actually just passed away last week. But I didn't tell him that we had a miscarriage because I was just like, I just can't do that to him again. Like, it's just like.
Did he pass away thinking you were pregnant?
I think so. Well, yeah, unless someone else told him.
Yeah.
But.
Rest in peace, beautiful Papa.
This last pregnancy just didn't really feel real. Like, I didn't take any of those, like, all the other ones, you know, like, I've taken the photos of, like, every week, like, 5, week 6, week 7, week 8 of, like, the big smile with, like, the belly that doesn't exist, you know, like, the pregnancy apps. Like, I was like, nah, I'm just not even going to do that. Like, so I don't know. I think that it's just, like, now I'm, like.
You're numb, right?
Do you feel numb? I'm super numb and I'm just, like, far out. It's just, I honestly. When I had my third miscarriage, I was like, oh, surely this isn't going to happen again. Like, surely it can't happen 3 times. And now it's happened a fourth time. I'm like, I don't get it. Like,
it's actually your 3-year wedding anniversary today as we're recording. Like, crazy to think, because you actually got pregnant that night of your wedding, right?
Yeah. So we fell pregnant the day after our wedding. So exactly 3 years ago tomorrow was like the very beginning of this pregnancy journey.
And you never thought 3 years later you'd be bloody have started a podcast talking about this shit and you'd still be trying for that first baby for you guys. How do you think it's changed you and Fisher as a couple in your relationship and having gone through nearly, 7 rounds of IVF and 4 miscarriages?
Oh, it's so weird because, like, I just, like, we're great. We're stronger than ever. Like, it definitely, I can imagine, I can see how it would make or break people. And for us, like, it's definitely, we're a complete unit. Like, but yeah, it's just so weird. It's just the weirdest feeling ever. And I feel for him too, because, you know, you're just not having any answers and I don't know, I can't even explain.
And the man thinks he always, I mean, like, we have spoken about this. So I don't want to repeat ourselves, but obviously, like, because it's the woman's body going through all this shit
And obviously emotionally the man is too, or the partner is too, but they often feel like they've got to stay strong because it's not them having the physical miscarriage and stuff. But, you know, they're losing babies too and they're getting hopeful and going through this roller coaster too, but I feel like they often get forgotten about. And
yeah.
I just, you would have learned so much since this has first happened. And like, what have you guys both learned and what can you tell couples and what kind of advice could we give to guys, but also the girls to help the guys through it?
I just like on it, I think for with IVF that the hardest part to grasp onto is the fact that like you have no ability to control anything. You can't control the outcome. You can't control like you can't pre-plan anything. And I think it's really hard to surrender to that. And that's a really, I don't think I'm even that great at it anymore. But I think the best thing would be like communication, be patient. Because some people don't like talking about it. I think like Paul is at the point where I think that he doesn't really love talking about it anymore.
He's getting better. We just had a chat last night with another mate whose wife's going through the same thing and they were kind of chatting about it and I was so proud.
Yeah. He even said that. He was just like, you know, that we need to talk about this more and it's really important to open these conversations with people. And I think another thing as well, it's like it's really hard to do, but it's try not to get frustrated with each other because everyone's frustrated. It's not just you. They're actually frustrated as well. So it's definitely a testing time for sure. And for me personally, I like to research and just even when I was going through this most recent miscarriage, I swear to God, I was Googling shit, the exact same shit that I've Googled every single miscarriage. Mm. You're looking into everything like bleeding,
literally. Like
everything. What could it be? Why could I be HCG levels? Like positive stories with this level at this week. Like it's just, it's so heavy. And I don't
know. You must have just learned so much.
I just don't really have like too much advice. It's just I think that.
You feel defeated.
Yeah. And I think it's just so heavy to say. Like obviously one in four pregnancies end in miscarriage and like it's been four in four for us. And you definitely think why?
It's not fair.
Why does this keep happening to the same person? And it's not just me. Obviously other women go through the same thing and they would be feeling the exact same too. It's just so confusing. And then it's like 1% of couples find themselves in the recurrent miscarriage club, and recurrent miscarriage is if you've had more than three. 1% of couples. It's like,
how can you be so unlucky?
Do you fall into, like, it's honestly real life snakes and ladders.
Do you feel like you are almost nearing to a point where you could be looking at other routes like egg donors or surrogacy or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got three eggs. Embryos here frozen in Australia frozen, and I have two embryos in the States frozen. So I know that, I mean, I'm hoping that within those five, one of them is going to work. And at this point, if I can have one baby, I'm so grateful for that. Surrogacy thing, definitely we're starting to explore that now. Like I actually did have a call with a surrogacy counsellor. I was like, yeah, I'm here, I'm there. Like this is where I'm at in the journey. And then after that call, I just had the biggest breakdown because I think it was like this moment where I realized that I might not be able to carry my own baby, and that for me is really soul crushing. Like I want to be pregnant just as much as I want the baby. Yeah. Like I want to have that experience and have that belly, and like I think that call with the surrogacy person, I was just like far out. Like how can you not give me answers? And another thing that I also really want to bring up and hasn't been sitting well with me the last couple of weeks is I know that I've said on this podcast that I hate when I see people whinging about their children, that they should be grateful that they have a child. I've like come to realize that is probably like not the right thing to say because everyone is allowed to have their, like to complain about things. Obviously, I talk about how upset I am that I can't have a baby. Why are they not allowed to talk about, you know, everyone has their struggles, and it's definitely contradicting myself when I say that. And I want to apologize for that because it's just so not right. But yeah, I think that you definitely get so caught up in like this tunnel vision of your own journey and like, why me? And I'm so grateful for the life that Paul and I get to live. And we've got so many amazing things happening for us as well outside of this, but this is just one small part that, you know, we can't have right now. And, you know, other people, you know, might not have what we have, but then have a child. And it's just like so wrong of me to have said that. And I just can't get that out of my mind. But, you know, I just want to say that I'm sorry if I offended anyone. But at the end of the day, we come on here, we're not perfect. We come on here to try and be so raw with you and vulnerable, and shit slips out of our mouth sometimes. And yeah, it might offend some people. And yeah, you are only human. And I'm sure everyone, you know, says some things they don't mean.
Yeah. And we always pride ourselves kind of on have barely ever editing our podcast, but really we probably should edit it more because we say some dumb shit. You and me complain about Minnie all the time. She's a bloody menace. So
yeah.
I mean, it's inevitable. Like, I wanted her so fucking much, but sometimes I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it's just kind of, but it's a trigger as well for you. And
yeah,
everyone's problems are relative, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think from here on out, I'm not going back to Australia now for the rest of the year. I'm going to go home for a few days after this trip just to regroup and get my stuff. And then we go to the States for Paul's US on a touring starts. I am going to go to my doctor in LA and I'm going to, hopefully they're going to go in. So like I'm going to get them to start from scratch and just get like a whole nother set of eyes. Because I think when I saw her last year through COVID, I wasn't ready at that point for someone to go through, start from scratch. Cause I was like, no, I've done all these tests and they're all normal. But I think I'm at that point now where I'm like, nah, I love my doctor in Australia, but I need to start from scratch again and get someone with a fresh set of eyes to maybe just see if I've missed something. And I really do believe that there has to be something going on with my uterus because I can't be 31 years old, be using genetically tested embryos, them implanting, but losing them at 9 weeks every time. There's something that's not right, and I won't. I just like, I'm not going to settle for being told that there's nothing wrong. So I dare say I will go to LA and I dare say that I will have to have like an invasive surgery and kind of suss out what's going on in there. But in the interim, I'm definitely investigating surrogacy because, you know, at the end of the day, the main goal here is to have a baby in my arms. And I just don't think I can mentally go through with having another miscarriage. I will fully have a nervous breakdown because I'm very strong on the outside, but I'm inside. I'm still every day in my mind is like, what's going on? Like once you start the IVF journey, or the journey to becoming a mother doesn't leave your mind for one day. I find myself lying in bed every other night with tears running down my face. And I'm not even meaning to have tears, but I'm just having tears because I can't solve this problem. And, you know, you just feel really defeated and really like an absolute failure of a woman to not be able to do the one thing that you're meant to do on this earth. And it just sucks hard. So my heart goes out there to anyone that's listening that's going through this IVF. And it's just absolutely no joke. Not even just IVF, just trying to conceive and it not working, you know, even secondary infertility. It bloody sucks. Someone actually sent me this quote and I want to read it to you, going off the back of me complaining about, you know, you should be grateful. But someone said, a listener sent me this quote saying, telling someone they can't feel sad because someone else has it worse is like saying you can't feel happy because someone else has it better. And I just thought like,
it's so true.
I just was like, far out. So although I felt weird about me saying that, everyone's allowed. It just made me realize like, no, everyone's allowed to complain about anything.
Everyone's feelings are valid
exactly.
To them and like they shouldn't be, you know, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks of how they're feeling about a situation. Like that's the way that they're feeling. So
you
can't really control that. Even if someone else wouldn't feel that way if that happened to them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we obviously niggle at each other all the time and, you know, you're going through what you're going through and you're deep down, you know, you're so always so happy and always so uplifted and always, you know, I'd say stuff that piss you off all the time, but I don't know what I don't know what you're going through that day and that moment in time. And I think that a lesson that I've learned from all of this is like you have no idea what the next person's going through. Like you said, that guy at dinner last night telling us about him having a miscarriage last week and an ectopic and her nearly dying. It's like just be kind. Be kinder in general because you just don't know what someone else is going through.
Everyone's got a bit on, don't they?
So just educate yourself, I think, and that's like the most important taking of this episode is just go back and listen to more about episodes on miscarriage and the more you know and that documentary Misunderstandings of Miscarriage with Tahina McManus, we actually interviewed her on the podcast. That's an amazing doco to watch. And I watched it twice. I bawled my eyes out in both because it just like really makes you understand and it's so important to support friends that are going through it because it's bloody sucks.
I know that when you have your miracle finally come into your arms that you're going to do the same thing, like a doco or a book or something. I just know it.
Yeah, I definitely.
And I'm going to be by your side up until then, sis, every second and then thereafter.
Love you.
I love you. Look at the hand holding.
If this conversation has triggered any negative feelings or thoughts for you or someone you know, you can reach out to Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636 or the Pink Elephant Support Network for emotional support resources surrounding miscarriage and fertility.